In the way of righteousness is life. Let's say it together. In the way of righteousness is life. Again, in the way of righteousness is life. It's taken from Proverbs 12:28. Let's read the scripture. Okay, it's not up there. Proverbs 12:28 says, I'm reading from Amplified, AMPC, life is in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relationship and relation. And in its pathway, there is no death, but immortality, perpetual, eternal life. Life is in the path of righteousness. When we say life, we mean real life. And what we call real life is life as God has it. The life as God has it. And the same life is also in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said in John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So we are talking about God kind of life, the real life, the life that brings victory, the life that brings triumph over every issue, over every situation, the life that trumps the darkest of all the darkness, the kind of life that is light, that no darkness can comprehend, which is the life of God. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ. The scripture is not coming on. The Word was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Everybody say, the Word was God himself. Again, the Word was God himself. So when you're hearing the Word, you're hearing God himself. When you're hearing the Word, you're hearing God himself. You're hearing Jesus himself, because the same life that is in God is also in his Son, Jesus Christ. The life that we are talking about, the real life. And he said in verse 2, he was present originally with God, talking about the Word Christ. Verse 3 says, all things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Without him was not even one thing made. So look around you. Everything you can see around you, the Bible said, without him was not even one thing made that has come into being, which means even your own very life came through him. Amen? Your own very life came through this life that we are talking about, the life of God. Then verse 4 says, in him was life. Everybody say, in him was life. Say it again. In him was life. And he said, and the life was the light of men. The life that we are talking about is the life of God, which is also in his Son Jesus. And this life, the Bible said, is the light of men. Is the light of men. Is the light of men. You think of light. We need light. If there is no light, then there is what? Darkness. And there's not much you can do in darkness. But thank God for this light that we are talking about. Verse 5 says, let's read it together, verse 5. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. This life that we are talking about, darkness is unreceptive to it. Which means the moment this light shows off, darkness does what? The moment this life, which is the light of men, shows off, darkness Think of anything that is darkness in your life. Sickness is the works of darkness. Poverty is the works of darkness. Quarreling in home is the works of darkness. Backwardness is the works of darkness. The only answer to any of those situations of darkness is what? Light. And this light is from the life of God, which is the light of men. Amen? So you see how very important the life that we are talking about is? And that's why the Bible says that in our theme text, life is in the way of righteousness. And it said in its pathway, there's no darkness at all. Because the darkness in the New Living Translation said that darkness cannot extinguish this light. Praise the Lord. Think about what I'm saying about. So, walking in the way of righteousness means having the light of life. Having the light of life. Jesus, who is the light of life. When you have Jesus, you have the righteousness of God in you, which means you have the life of God in you. And that's why Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, portion of it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. When you follow him, when you follow his word, because he's the word made flesh, you walk in the light of life. And he said in that he came, John 10:10, that we might have life and have it to the full until it does what? It overflows. John 10:10. He was telling us about the one that brings the darkness, that person that brings the darkness, devil, comes to steal you. He will first steal you, and then he will kill and then destroy you altogether. And he has different ways that he's doing that. But thank God for Jesus that came to checkmate him. And thank God that he came, and the moment you receive him, he dwells in you to keep on shining that light, to keep on easing that life through you so that no darkness will be able to comprehend or extinguish your life or the progress that he has destined for your life. He is the Son of the living God. Talking about Jesus, Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory. The light being, talking about the Son of God, he is the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence. And he upholds and maintains and propels all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by the powerful word, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal. This is what the Son does, but how does he do it? By the word of his power. So because when we are talking about the word of God, we are talking about the life of Christ. We are talking about God himself. We are talking about Jesus himself. And it is by the word of his power that he upholds all things. It is by the word of his power that he upholds your life. It is by the word of his power that he upholds your family. It is by the word of his power that he upholds your children. He upholds your business. There is absolutely nothing you can do without him. So when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything at all. You can't achieve anything apart from him. It's because he is the life-giving power. He is the light that shines and guides you in the right way to go. He's the one that guarantees your success, your victory, your beautiful marital life, the huge success for your children. He is the only one that guarantees him. And that's why Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? The Bible said in Hebrews 3:4 that for every house is built by someone. You think you are the one building your life, you will just mess it up It's a matter of time. Every house is built by someone, yes, but the Bible said the one who built all things is who? It's God, except he built your life through his son that is in you. You are just simply fooling yourself. It's a matter of time, it's going to crash. Haven't you heard about so many of these billionaires and millionaires? If you listen to a lot of these news coming from California, you find out that no matter how billions you have, there is that inner decay that only Christ can fill that void. Haven't you heard about some of them that just ended up their lives because they said, I had it all. I had all that it takes, but then I'm still not satisfied because Jesus Christ is the only satisfaction in life. He's the one that gives you real riches that will sustain you and make your life to be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. When God created all things, God said, God took man and put him into the garden, and he said, tend and keep. God set everything, whatever man needs, and said, tend and keep. Exactly the same thing he did for you and I. He finished everything in Christ Jesus. He said, all that pertains to life and godliness I have given unto you, but tend and keep it. But there's a way to tend and keep it, and the way to tend and keep it is through the life-giving source, by the power of the Spirit of God in you, by the Word of God. That is the way you still tend and keep it today. And if you don't tend and keep your life by the Word of God, you will just slip off, and the enemy will come and sow tares. And that's why all manner of things that God didn't design for you starts developing in your life, in your marital life, because he said it right away, that I know the plans that I have for you, but you have to use my building blocks. Use my building blocks, which is my life, which is my word. That is the only way you can fit into what I have destined for your life, because I have good plans. The enemy has bad plans, but he will shake before your face all that glitters just to distract you from the real life. Jesus Christ is the real deal. Amen? So do not allow the enemy to sow the tares. Stick with the life-giving source, who is Christ in you. That is why in the way of righteousness is life. In the way of righteousness is life. Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, okay. Now let's look at John 3:35-36. The Bible said there, the Father loves the Son and has given and entrusted all things into his hand. He who believes and trusts in the Son and accepts him as Savior has eternal life. It's still talking about the life of God that is already possesses it. But he who does not believe the Son and chooses to reject him, disobeying him and denying him as Savior, will not see this life that we are talking about. The Father has given all things to the Son. So, I mean, if I know that everything that I need, that God has given it to my husband, is it not best that I stick with him? Because that is the only way I can get all those goodies that the Father has for me. So the Father is telling us here, I've given everything that anybody will need, that the world needs, that will sustain this world, is all in my Son. So that is why our message in this church is Jesus only. Is our message, Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all we sing. He's our Savior, Sanctifier, Baptizer, Healer. He's our soon coming King. He who has the Son has life. That's what the Bible said. 1 John 5:11 says, and the testimony is this, God has given us eternal life, that is abundant life, life full of joy and fulfillment. We already possess it, and this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. Verse 12 says, let's read it together. But he who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life, that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. Amen. Please help me and turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, do you have eternal life? Do you have the Son in you? Please turn to your next neighbor. Ask the same question. Do you have the Son of God in you? So, if the answer is yes, then know for certain that you have this life that we are talking about. If you have the Son in you, by choosing him as your Lord and your Savior, then you have this life that we are talking about. You have it. It doesn't come by feelings. But if you know that at one time in your life, you have chosen him as your Lord and your Savior, then you have this life that we are talking about. And if you have this life that we are talking about, then let's look at verse 13. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does. Which represents what? All that Jesus Christ is and does. Think of what he is. Think of what he does. He's the Son of God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. All powers belong to him. When he sees death, death turns into life. There is no situation that can stand against him. He is peace himself, which means because of his presence, there is a guaranteed peace in your life, in any situation of life. Because he says, life as Christ has it. He says, so that you will know. When you have the revelation of the fact that you have the Son of God in you and you have his life in you, then who is it that will harm you? What is that situation that can stand against you? You will just simply topple over it because of the life that is in you, the life of Christ that is in you. And that's why he told us in verse 14, he said, let's read it together. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. Because you have the life in you. Because you have the Son of God in you. Because you have his power. Because you have his life, you have his spirit in you, you have his power in you, you have his anointing in you, you have his character in you, you have his conduct in you, you have his ability in you, you have his wisdom in you, you have his glories in you. Everything that Christ stands for, you have him in you because you have him in you. You have all that in you because you have him in you. So when you are asking, it is him now asking through you. That is why when we pray, according to John 16, 23, 24, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. What are you saying? Father, I stand before you because Jesus Christ, your Son, is my qualification because I have put my faith in him. Some people just pray and say, in your name we pray. I just laugh. Some people just say, in God's name. That is not the name that God gave to us to come before him for. He said, come to me in the name of Jesus, because he is the one that qualifies you to stand before me. And the confidence that we have is that when we ask according to his will, that is, when you ask in the light of what the word said, remember even Jesus Christ himself said that, I can of my own self do nothing. And he said, as I hear from my Father, so I say. He said, my judgment is not mine, but his. Now he comes and dwells in us, and he does not speak of his own accord while he was here. Now we should speak in the light of what he gives us, and what he gives us is all written in his word. He is the living word, but the written word tells us about his heart. And that's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that we have the mind of Christ. We have his thoughts and purposes. We are able to know because the word tells us everything. Amen? So, because you have him in you, your life will radiate. It's going to be a flourishing life, a life by excellence, because you have the Son of God in you. And your prayers, answers are guaranteed. Verse 15 says, and if we know, that is if we know, the thing is whether you know. That is the issue. Whether you know. And this knowing is not head knowledge. We're talking about revelation knowledge. And this revelation knowledge comes by hearing and hearing and hearing until it becomes a reality to you that, look, this thing is true. We're talking about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about really close knowledge. Jesus said they shall know the truth, and the truth, talking about to his disciples, and the truth shall make you free. Any area of your life that you are not free is simply because in that area you are ignorant, or you might know, but it's not yet a revelation to you of who you are in that area and how things should actually be. But know that the Father has set it so that if you have the Son of God in you and you ask, because you're asking according to his directives, your answer is a guarantee. So there's nothing like wondering, will he answer or will he not answer? He already told you here, because you have my Son in you, you have life itself in you. My brethren, I want to encourage you. Every time you come where the word of God is being preached, or you're studying the word of God on your own, always tune in and tune on. When I mean tune in, I mean be there really and pay close attention. And make sure your heart is in what you're listening. You're processing it by the help of the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. It is so very important. The book of Mark chapter 4, 24 says, I'm going to read it. I say, then he added, let's read it. It's up there. Ready, go. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. How does more understanding come? The closer you listen. That's why when you come to church, be mindful of your next neighbor. If it's the type that is going to be talking to you all the time and won't let you listen, you better change seat. This is not a place for you to play nice city, because you mean business. You're here to hear from your Father. So you must find another place. When the church is over, you can go back to the person and chat the much that you want to. But not when you're here to listen to the bread of life. Jesus said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. What is that telling us? You are first spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. But all the time we shop, we walk, we do all things, is usually to take care of our body, which is very important, because if you don't take care of this body and it packs up, then your spirit goes where it belongs. So you need to take care of your body, but you have to pay primary attention to your spirit, which is the real you. Because if you're broken in your spirit, your body is lousy. So, but the food of the spirit is the word of God. How much attention do we give to that word? You ask yourself, it's up to you. How much attention do you give to the real you, which is your spirit? Where you have the life-giving source. How much attention? That's why when you come to church, choose to settle down at one place. If you want to use the restroom, go ahead and do so before the word of God starts. When I miss one line, I will try to get myself again together. So I like, that's why when the word of God is going on, I like to be putting it down because it helps me to be focused, to cue into it, to get the nitty-gritties of it. Because I know that this is my life. Therein lies my future. And then I give time to studying the Word of God. Even if it means doing it in my restroom, I go ahead and do that. The important thing is that the Word is being, I'm being fed. I'm feeding my spirit. So continue. So you said, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. And that's absolutely true. The more you get to understand this Word of God, the more revelation that God keeps pouring into your heart. This has been my experience. My husband used to say that, and I didn't quite understand it, but I'm getting it now. The more you get it, it's like, you know, on a higher level, because you are now able to connect two and two. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is one. And then it takes you higher. And that's why the Bible said, as we keep on beholding us in a mirror, this Word of God, which is Jesus himself, we are being transformed into his very own image from one level of glory to another level of glory, because you can't cram the Word of God. It's not possible. Yes, you can cram your books, which is what we used to do when we were in schools. You cram and then you want your neighbor to listen and then you start reciting just to make sure you get it. And then when exam comes, you get 100%, but knowledge has not taken place. You haven't learned anything. And what will help you to know that you have learned is when the chips are down, when challenges of life comes, when your wife tells you, we need shoe for the baby, and they say, am I bank or something? It means that you haven't really learned anything. Or maybe your husband talks to you, say, you know, every time. You haven't learned anything. What will help you to know that you have learned is that when situations or challenges or storms of life shows up, your response to it, your attitude to it, your facial appearance to it, your body language will still show that you have received some knowledge, that there's a life that is in you, and that life is a real life, the life of the Son of God. Amen? So you can't cram the Word of God. It's a process. I was born again 19th of September 1985. What I knew 10 years ago is not what I know today. You can't know it on it. It takes time for the Word of God to resonate on the inside of you. So you keep hearing, and you keep hearing, and you keep hearing. And that's why Jesus told Martha that Mary has chosen one thing, the only one thing that is needful, and no one can take it away from him. Because the revelation that you have, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. That this person has this situation, and then you come. There are certain situations that people have, and then you're trying to help them. You're just wondering where to start. Because they are far, far, far. And they say, didn't the Word of God say something like? Because they are not sure. But what you know, when the chips are down, you're able to say, it is written. You're not just saying it is written, just saying it. You are saying it from understanding. You are saying it from a knowing that you know and you know. So that when you stand tall and bold and you're declaring it. And like Esther, you say, if I perish, I perish. This is what the Word said. And you stick your neck to it. Praise the Lord. So it is important that we give time to the Word of God. It is important. The Bible said the walls were framed by the Word of God. And he gave us the same Word to frame our lives, to frame our children, to frame our businesses, to frame our circumstances. But like my sister was encouraging us today, sometimes we frame it with the words from the world. We frame from the blocks from the world, not from the blocks that God gave us, which is his Word. Because his Word is spirit. His Word is life. His Word is quick and powerful and penetrates to every part of your nature. He gave us his Word to frame our children, to frame our marriages. What do you say about your marriage on a daily basis? What do you say about your children? Do you call them blessed and bless them with your words, whether they are there or not there? What are you saying? Are you short of words to say? It's simply because you are not feeding. And that's why we are encouraging you. It's an appeal, because this is the only blocks that you will use to build your life. The Bible said that the walls, we are framed by the word of God. And we are created in his own image. When God saw darkness, he said, light. He didn't say, see how dark this thing is. So you don't have to say, you child, you will kill me. Look at what you're doing. No, you say, you are the blessed of the Lord. The blessings of God, they make rich. They won't add sorrow. You are being taught by my Father, and grace shall be your peace. Because you are part of me, all mine are yours, Daddy, and all yours are mine. They are part of me. So I give you praise because you're walking in their lives. You begin to bless. You begin to use God's building blocks, which is life, because his word is life. His word is light. You look at your husband. You bless him. I pray over my husband every day, and he does the same thing for me. I pray blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon him, upon my children. So as he's queuing into it, the thing is manifesting, and I'm seeing the manifestations of all that, and the same thing goes for me. That is why you should encourage each other to spend time with the word. Anything your wife can do to spend time with the word, encourage her to do that. Anything your husband can do to spend time with the word, encourage him to do that. It's so very important, because the only way we can build our lives is by the word of God. The word is there unleashing all manner of languages, all manner of words to us today. But it depends on whose words you're using to build your life. Whose words are you using to build your life? Are you using the word of life? Are you using the word of darkness? The Bible said, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat the fruit therein. What you're saying has consequences, because those words that you're speaking, they are spirit. But it depends on whether they are spirit from the dead end or spirit from the life-giving source. Amen? So we must spend time on the word of God. Remember, unless the Lord builds, it's all in vain. Unless he builds your life, it's all in vain. And when we say the Lord builds, it doesn't mean that God will come and be fixing things on you. It is you using the word of God to bless yourself. What do you say about your life? What do you call yourself? I had somebody say, he's a Christian. He said, me, everything I do, it doesn't ever work for me. You have good luck. Is that your language? No. That shouldn't be the language of a child of God. Because the Bible says he surrounds his own righteous children with favor as with a shield. He said, on whatever you lay your hands upon to do, you flourish in that. That's your portion as a child of God. So, whose words are you using to build? Let God build through you. You have to do it. You have to speak his word. Your Father says in the Bible, Ephesians 3:20, that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, exceedingly, abundantly, above whatever you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. In other words, to the extent to which you allow that power, to the extent to which you believe, to the extent to which you agree with him, which is talking about your faith. And that's why that all things are possible to them that believe. How can you believe if you're not feeding on the word of God? Some of us, when we talk about general Sunday school, say, oh, hooray, so I'm going to sleep a longer time today. But life is being shared. Look at wonderful things that were shared here during the Sunday school. I'm not talking about those who go to work and come back late in the morning and they still have to struggle to come here. I'm talking about somebody who is really free. Free in the night, free in the morning, and then go to bed so late and just say, well, God, I have to mind my own business. I will just give you any time that I can. And you just shuffle in any time that you want. That is not reverencing the God and reverencing his word. We are not blaming you, but we want to encourage you because this is life. A lot of things are happening in the world today, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the word of God. You don't have to wait until you're drowning to start learning how to swim. The best option for you is to be fully loaded with the word of God by revelation, by understanding, so that when situations arise, you are able to stand tall and bold and send the enemy where he belongs. The Bible said that Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the full to overflows. Make that your goal, because that's what there is, not for decoration. That's the plan of God for you. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of darkness. Every work of darkness that you notice around you, don't tolerate it for 1 second. And the only answer to it is the word of God. Praise the Lord. When we talk, remember we said that in the way of righteousness is life. And when we talk about righteousness, we are talking about the gift of righteousness. We are not talking about your performance. We are talking about the gift that you receive from the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that it said that, for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace or merited favor and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with him, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. How do you reign in life? It's through the gift of righteousness. That's the only way you reign in life. When we talk reign in life, we mean that you are top-notch spiritually. You understand what did that say? You top-notch spiritually, but then you have a child. You need to grow your muscles, and that comes through fellowshipping with the word of God. But you have what it takes to withstand whatever situation that comes your way, and that is by the gift of righteousness. You say, we'll reign in life as kings. You reign in life as kings. That is talking about this abundant life that we are discussing. Life as God has it. The life of God. So, the only way you reign like that is through this gift of righteousness. And this gift is a gift. And what did you do to get a gift, to receive a gift? You just simply stretch your hand and do what? You take it. So when God says, my son, pay attention to my word, it's because he has given you the gift to be able to listen, to be able to hear him, to be able to understand the gift of righteousness. You have the life of Christ in you. So when you give heed to the word of God begins to walk in you, supplying the wisdom. You need the wisdom of God to marry your husband. You need the wisdom of God to marry your wife. You need the wisdom of God to manage your children. You need the wisdom of God to do your business. You need the wisdom of God to deal with the affairs of life. And that's why we have different ministries in this church. So that when you get to each of these different ministries, they will now bring it down to earth, the nitty-gritties of each one of them, so that you'll be able to know how to apply this wisdom to those areas. But you have to give attention to the word of God. Because the word of God is God himself. The word of God is sick. Haven't you seen anybody that is sick? I heard of a man that was sick. You know, I think this man was, I think he was a medical doctor dealing with the cancer patients. And then at a point, he got it too. And then this man withdrew himself. He happened to be a believer. And he took the word of God and began to go through the word of God, studying everything that Jesus did from Matthew, Mark, Luke. He said, wow. Jesus did all this for those who didn't even know him. They were all sinners. And now that he died and he rose and he's in me, much more will he do for me. And right there and there, this man got healed. And I think they say he wrote a book. I've forgotten the name of the book. To tell people that the word of God works. That there is life, so much life in the word of God. I heard of a young man again that was not doing well at all in business, was not doing well at all in school. And somebody encouraged him and said, go and study the book of Proverbs, meditate on it. And this young man did that. And this young man began to excel, that today he's, I don't know whether a billionaire or a millionaire, but he began to excel. He began to excel. Why? Because you need the wisdom of God. And the Bible said to us, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is your wisdom. Jesus Christ is your power. Jesus Christ is your hope of glory. God gave him to you so that you will excel. If you're not excelling in life, you don't have any reason whatsoever. It's simply because you are ignorant of who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. So it must be a different ball game from today. In every area where you have been finding lacking, you must have to apply the word of God to that, and you begin to excel. You begin to speak the language of heaven. Build with the building blocks of the Father. It is one thing for you to receive this gift of righteousness, and then you must have to also grow in this life of Christ. Maturity is required. You know, thank God for my beloved husband. He was sharing with us, was it Thursday or last Thursday, that look, if you don't spend time with the word of God, that nobody can help you. Nobody can help you. You need to mature in the word of God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, say, brothers and sisters, do not be children, immature, childlike in your thinking. Do not be infants in matters of evil, completely innocent and inexperienced, but in your minds be mature adults. Talking about spiritual maturity. Talking about spiritual maturity. You don't have to be baby. I don't know if there's any mom or any father that will be so happy that your child at 1 year old is still sitting down. At 10 years old, your child is still sitting, cannot stand, cannot walk. At 20 years old, you don't see any development in your child. It will set you going to find out what's going on with my child. The father is not happy when his children are not maturing to take what belongs to them. And when you're not maturing, that's why when they will call you from there and say, give me thousands, let me pray for you, because I saw so, so, and so for you. And you start offering because you don't know what the word said about you. The father wants you to mature. We were encouraged to seek the word of God like we seek money. Check how many hours you spend in the day seeking for money. And then how many of those hours are there for seeking for the real deal, the spiritual truth that will enrich your life, that will flourish you in life. It is so very, very important that we make out time for the word of God. Like our senior pastor told us on Thursday, you are losing big time and nobody can help you when you are not spending time with the word of God. It's only time that will tell. But today is still early. Today is still early. As you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Start spending time with the word. All these people that spend time with the word or listening by internet or maybe find time to study the word of God on their own, you might think that they are foolish, that they are wasting their time. That was what they said to my husband. He's just fooling himself, carrying Bible around. But all those people that said all that, they are not seeing his back today. It is that same Bible that brought us to this country, and it is that same Bible that is flourishing us today. God designed to use what in the eyes of men is foolish to glorify himself. It sounded so foolish that he's carrying the Bible. But that Bible, when you put faith to it and you put it here, it flourishes you. Praise the Lord. So you can now understand why God gave gifts to us in the church, the gifts of pastors, the gifts of teachers. The Bible said is, he did this to equip us and perfect us as the saints of God. And he said, to build us up as the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Because the Son of God is your life. When we talk about life, we are talking about the Son of God. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness. Manifesting his spiritual completeness. What does it mean to manifest his spiritual completeness? All that makes him who he is. You want it to manifest it upon your life. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. See some situations in your life, you declare how it has to be, and it is so. You want to experience his manifest presence in your life, in every situation, because you are complete in him, lacking nothing. It pleased the Father that all the fullness of all that makes God God should dwell in Christ. And where is Christ today? He's in me. He's in you, if you have chosen him as your Lord and your Savior. So all that makes him who he is already in you. So you are complete in him, lacking nothing. But then you have to build yourself up. That is why God gave us some in the church as pastors, as teachers, evangelists. There are so many gifts. If you can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, 12 to 12, from verse 12 to 14. It says, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of, shifting doctrine. So that you'll be able to be stable. You'll be able to be firm. Knowing who you are. And radiating the glory of God, the beauty of Christ. And having a life that is so fulfilled. Not that you're a billionaire, but you're so fulfilled, you lie yourself down and you sleep. And if anything shows up, you nip it on the bud. That is what we call real flourishing. Amen? So we must not be cutting classes if we don't have anything that is legitimate enough to keep us away from fellowshipping, so that we will benefit from all these gifts that God puts in the church. Amen? That's why he said in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, he said, not forsaking our meetings together as believers for worship and instruction. For worship and instruction. Where is the instruction coming from? Through the word of God. As I'm sharing the word of God with you, and I'm sharing life with you, I don't have what it takes to change your life or to make your life good. I can only bring his word, because his word is himself, his word is life, and his word will always produce, will always bless. Amen? We sing a song, Jesus is the life in me. It is no longer I that live it. So you must understand that Jesus is the life in you. You must know it that Christ is the life in you. And if you know that you know that you know that he's truly your life, then Colossians chapter 3 said, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures. And seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let's read verse 2 together. Ready, go. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Okay, again. And set your minds and keep them set. He says, set your mind. You don't just set it on Sunday. And then Monday to Saturday, you're not the same. Set your mind and keep it set. It is that continuity. That's why he said, as you keep beholding continuously, as you keep on fellowshipping, meditating on the word of God continuously, set your mind and keep it set on things above. Because that's where you belong. You are just my ambassador here. You are a citizen of heaven. You must be getting your instructions and your materials from where you belong, your home base. And that is all packaged in the word of God. He's saying, verse 3, let's read verse 3. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your new real life, your real life, Christ is the life in you. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And that is why you must spend time to hear and hear more and more about Jesus, who is your real life. That is the real deal. You must spend and set your mind and keep it set on the things above. But most times, it's all on the things here in the world. You focus your attention on what is going on. You look at a phone, even in the church, find people. You think that some of them are going through their Bible. They're just checking. They want to check email. They want to check this one. They want to check this one. Get at home, phone. That if anybody doesn't have his phone around, he wants to get it around so that he doesn't miss out. But how much time now do you spend on the Word of God? It's just an encouragement, because if Jesus is your real life and he's the Word made flesh, is it not so very important that you should spend your time in getting to know him if he's your real life, and enjoy his life and enjoy life to the full that he gave you, so that you'll be able to guard your life? Remember I said, I think it's in Matthew 13:25, that it says that when when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And these things come, stressful moments, agitated moments, maybe with your children, maybe with your job or whatever. But when you know, when you're full of the word of God, you'll be able to know how to deal with all such issues and stay still in peace. You always go into peace. It's your choice if you're peaceful or not, because he said he gave you his peace that passeth all human understanding. And so he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto me. And my peace that passeth all human understanding will garrison your heart. But do we really think that this is the word of God, that he meant every word of it? Do we really now try to be careful for nothing, like they were sharing with us this morning? Don't bother about anything. That's what he's telling us. Don't bother about anything. I have your back covered. I'm your God, and I'm a good daddy. I'm not an infidel. I take care of my own. So don't worry about anything. Whatever it is, just throw it at me. I will take care of you. You won't be able to believe that if you're not fully persuaded. That full persuasion, like Abraham had, comes through fellowshipping with the word of God, as it becomes a revelation to you that God meant every word of it. And he said, I will not break my covenant. I'm a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping father. If I assured you that, certainly I will do it, because I watch over my word to perform it. I honor my word above my name. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, Christ is your life. And we sing a song, I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have the spirit of the Son of God. I have the life of God in me. But when the chips are down, you forget the life that is in you. Because you don't really, it's not really, there's no knowing of it. There's no revelation of it. The knowing of it, the revelation of it comes through spending time with the word of God. That's the only way it comes. So when you're singing it from a knowing that this is for real. So that when challenges come, you show forth that life by what you're saying, by your comportment, by your character, you show forth that life. And when you show forth that life, which is the light of men, there is no level of darkness that can absorb it. It will just simply give way. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, it said, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Not in your own strength, because Christ is the life in you. You have the Spirit of the Son of God in you. So he's in you energizing. He's in you. He's the one that is all the while at work in you. But how rooted you are in him is how rooted you're going to stand when challenges of life come your way, when family issues throw themselves at you. How rooted you are in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 say, let your roots grow deep down into him, and that you should be abounding in him with thanksgiving. Let your roots grow deep down into him. How does it grow? It grows deep. That's knowledge of the word of God, knowledge of the truth, as it is in the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. You will know when challenges come. Tests will always come so that testimony will show up. There is one thing you must understand, that God is always causing you to triumph in Christ Jesus, not outside of Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 and 15. He is only always. What does the word always mean? Always means what? Always. I beg you, take God at his word. Believe the word of God. Whatever shows up, I want you to know that your victory is a guarantee, because the Father is walking 24/7. Why? Because you are his daughter or you are his son. Just simply because you have received this gift of righteousness and he has your image in him, and you have his image in you. He's walking 24/7 for your success, for your victory. But you must believe it. You must believe it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, without agreeing with what God said, you can't please him. Pleasing God means standing by his word and agreeing with him. Oh, you can imagine when somebody doesn't trust you, how good do you feel about it? When you don't trust God, you don't believe his word, it means you have passed a vote of low confidence in himself. I don't think he can handle this. I think Mr. A or Mr. B or this person or that person. If God ever said anything in his word to you, just believe it. That's one way you please him. The Father is so satisfied and is so happy. And the Bible says he has magnified his word above all his names. The Bible said the name of Jesus is above every other name. Yes, God has magnified the name of Jesus, but the Bible said that he has magnified his word above all his name, which means that God will stick his neck to make sure that his word works. And his angels are there watching for whoever will speak the word of God, and they will make it good. They hearken to the voice of his word. The Bible said that he sent his word to heal you and deliver you from every destruction of the enemy. But if you keep your mouth shut and you're not speaking that word because you don't even know it, how can you be helped? You keep your angels idle. So my prayer today is that we will wake up and know that we have the life of God in us, and begin to grow spiritual muscles by fellowshipping with the word of God, reverencing the word of God. Take God at his word. And I want to let you know, your life will never be the same again. Amen.
Shall we all rise?